Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. I invite you, if you brought your Bibles, to turn to that passage with me. If not, you may use a pew Bible, and also the passage is projected on the walls behind me. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning with the 23rd verse. Hear now the word of the Lord. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And, as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me. I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today I want to wrap up our sermon series on Spider-Man 3, the movie, obviously. You will recall, in summary, that it's a classic film about good versus evil. Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man, finds himself doing battle on several fronts. He has this out-of-this-world parasite that attaches itself to the suit, and it begins to grow. And it amplifies the characteristics or the personality not only of the suit, but also of the individual. And under the influence of that, Peter Parker begins to hurt those he loves and cares about the most. And, well, you know there's got to be a couple of villains in the story if we're going to have a classic good versus evil, don't you? And there's Sandman and there's Venom, who team up together to wage war against Spider-Man in the attempts to beat him. After all, he is interfering with what they want to do. And as all of these battles take place on the different fronts, Peter Parker discovers that there's a greater battle going on inside of him. It's like a civil war. Invisible forces that are at work, at odds within him. And we talked, and our purpose of the series was to talk about those invisible forces that were at work in him, because they also, at times, will work on us. The first Sunday, we talked about temptation, that invisible force that seeks to get us off the straight path with God and with others by tempting us to stray away and to do something else. We pointed out that from scenes in the movie that oftentimes Peter was tempted throughout the movie to use his powers in a way that wasn't for good, to use his mind and his words for the same cause. We noted also that you and I, we are tempted in life at times by things, peoples, or different events we get tempted in. And we wondered how Jesus dealt with temptation. Had he ever been tempted? And we pointed out that when Jesus had spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness praying and fasting, that Satan came and tempted him. And, well, we know that at least three temptations were recorded in Scripture. And in each one of those, we see how Jesus responded to those temptations in order to overcome them. He responded with the Word of God, because it was the Word of God to show him the path that he should take, the road that he should walk. Temptation. You and I need to do the same. We have to change our focus. We must put it upon God's Word and the path that God desires for us to take, rather than on the road that might be tempting us. Because whatever gets our attention, friends, gets us. And I used as a closing illustration about the time a hummingbird flew into our house. I don't mean hit the house. I mean I opened the door and the bird flew in. And I thought to myself, how in this world will I ever get the bird out? And then it hit me. I closed the blinds. I pulled the drapes. I did all the things I could do to make the house as dark as I could do, make it. And I opened the door to let all the sunlight in, the door that I wanted that bird to find and fly out of. Because there were lots of other doorways the bird could have picked and gone to different sections of the house. That wasn't where I wanted it to go. I wanted it to gravitate towards that light and to go out that path. And that's what God's Word does for us. It's the light that shines in our lives, that helps us gravitate to it in times of temptation, to move us down that path instead of picking one that leads to heartache and heartbreak. That was the first invisible force. Then last Sunday we talked about the invisible force of revenge, and how in the movie every time it seemed that Peter Parker was tempted, he was tempted to get even. He was tempted to take revenge. We also noted that there are times in our lives when people might offend or hurt us or our family members, especially loved ones and family members, when we want to get even, when we want to take revenge. And did Scripture have anything to say about revenge? Is there a way, as Christians, you and I should respond to revenge? Pointed out that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is preaching. And he gives us three illustrations that address this very topic directly. And we find out through those teachings that we're to turn the other cheek. We're to go the extra mile, above and beyond what's required of the law. That we're to return love to our enemies. We're to pray for those who persecute us. We're to do good instead of doing evil. Now, that doesn't mean you need to put yourself in a position where you're used and abused, you know. But it does mean that in order for you and I to be healed of the hurt, of the wound that we have received from the offense or from the action by word or action, that we're going to have to forgive them. So that means that when we think back on it, we learn from it, and we're responding differently, but it doesn't impact us like it just happened all over again. And we feel the raw emotions bubble to the top where we snap, go postal on someone because we've been healed. Well, the third force that I want us to talk about today, which is really the hero of the story, it's not Spider-Man or anyone or thing else. It's this. It's the real hero, a superpower. It's called forgiveness. You know, towards the end of the movie, there seems like there's a lot of forgiveness that's going on, that's being received and extended. Peter Parker and his girlfriend MJ seem to kind of make amends. Harry, Peter's best friend, with Harry's dying breath, Peter and Harry make amends and forgiveness is offered and received. And Peter even comes to the place where he forgives the man who killed his Uncle Ben. Forgiveness. It's a real superpower. It's the hero not only of stories, movies, films. It's a hero and a powerful force in life. And that's what I'd like to preach on today, sharing with you two ideas about forgiveness. One, I want us to understand the importance of it. And two, I want us to begin to learn how to experience the power of it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to experience it. And for effective Christian walking, we need both information and formation to really be effective in maturing in our faith. So let's think about study about the importance of it. We learned that through the story of the unmerciful servant. Oh, you remember how the story went. The king one day decided he was going to settle all accounts with anyone, with everyone who owed him money. So one by one, they were brought in front of him, and each case was settled. Until this one servant came who owed him a huge amount of money. Equivalent worth in our money would be about $10 million in our money back then. There wasn't any way this fellow was going to pay it off. He wasn't going to pay it off in 10 lifetimes if he'd have had it. It was impossible. He owed this unreal amount of money. Now, by law, the king could sell the man, the man's family, and all that the man owned to help pay back some of the debt, and then he'd just simply have to write it off. And he's about to do it. When the servant begins to beg and to plead for mercy and for grace and for forgiveness and that he would pay him all back. Well, there wasn't any way he was going to pay him back. But the king forgives him of the debt because the servant asked. How shocked he must have been. Dumbfounded would be more like it, I guess, huh? But those feelings and that memory didn't last very long because just as soon as he left the presence of the king, he runs into a fellow servant who owes him about $20. And he grabs this man roughly by the neck and he says, pay me what you owe me. The man uses the same speech that this unmerciful servant had used just a moment ago on the king, but to no avail. This unmerciful servant throws his fellow servant into debtor's prison until the debt would be paid in full. It doesn't take long for word to get back to the king, who obviously is outraged and sends for this unmerciful servant. His words are not kind. They're laced with anger. How come I forgave you of such a huge amount and you won't forgive a fellow servant of such a small debt? And he had him tortured until it was paid in full. Jesus uses that parable to teach us the importance of forgiveness. Because the forgiveness of the king is dependent upon forgiveness of the servant. Even Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, that if we will forgive others of the sins they commit against us, then God will forgive us of our sins. But if we don't forgive others who sin against us, then God will not forgive us. In other words, the same cup we use to measure forgiveness out to other people, God will use to forgive us. Even in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Friends, forgiveness is important. Forgiveness is important. Catch it. If you remember two things this morning, let this be one of them. Forgiveness is important. You and I, we have to grow and learn and develop to a place where we can forgive. That's what God's Word calls for us to do. Forgive. But it's when we understand that you and I move down the path where we can experience the power of it, the fruit of forgiveness in our lives. Because, you know, sometimes we need forgiveness from God, forgiveness from others, even forgiveness from ourselves. We've done something that's so highly disappointed in ourselves that we need to forgive ourselves. But there are times when we need to forgive other people. Things that they said or did or circumstances or situations and whether they were real or whether you just perceive them to be that way, it doesn't really matter because you're hurt, you're wounded, you're offended. And the temptation for us, just like for Peter Parker, is to hold a grudge, to dream and think about ways to get even, to figure out ways where we can get our verbal jabs in, sharp tongue, a poisoned heart, and a negative mind. And if we're not careful, that's what happens. We don't forgive. But you and I can experience the power of forgiveness, and I want to share that with you by reminding you of another story from Scripture. You may remember the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector in Jerusalem. He was a man who was short in height, abnormally short. But tax collectors in that day were Jewish people who worked for Rome. They would collect the taxes for Rome, but they could also add some on top of those taxes for pay for themselves. Well, most tax collectors were tempted to really jack up their pay, and they lined their pockets and became wealthy at the expense of the middle class, if there were some in those days, and the poor and those who didn't have. They became wealthy. Needless to say, they weren't liked very much in town. They didn't have any friends, really. And any time they would catch a tax collector out, they, you can be sure, took advantage of any opportunity to get in a little lick, a little push, a little trip, or some kind of something. Well, the town heard that Jesus was coming one day. And people lined the streets to watch Jesus pass by. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus too, but don't you know those people had great delight in keeping him from seeing over, around, or under them? So he runs down the pathway, and he climbs a tree that's close to the road that he hopes Jesus is going to pass down. And Jesus does. Jesus sees him in the tree and calls him by name and tells him to come down, for he must have supper with him tonight. And it's then that Zacchaeus encounters God. He receives an unbelievable gift. His eyes and his mind is open, and he's enabled to see himself the way God sees him. And he was embarrassed, ashamed, full of regret. He didn't like what he saw. He wanted to be something different. He didn't want that to be him, but it was. He wanted to change, and through his encounter with Christ coming into his life, he received forgiveness. And it changed his life. It ushered in a new beginning. It took away the chains that sought to hold him in bondage and captive. You and I have to do the same, friends. We encounter Jesus and receive forgiveness from God, but there are also times when we have to extend forgiveness to others. You remember in the story still yet? That not only does he show a changed life in front of Jesus with his words, but he also does with his actions as he seeks to make restitution and pay back those he's cheated or harmed in any way. Well, there are times in our lives, friends, when we need to do the same. And my prayer for us today is that if there is a twinge of the feeling of conviction from the Holy Spirit, or a sting because we know that in our mind and hearts we might be holding some vengeful thoughts towards a family member, a coworker, anybody, anywhere. It may range from that all the way up to just sheer hate. You know, that's the case when you do this kind of thing, you know. We have the tendency to take that person or whatever it was that hurt us so badly. And if we're unwilling to forgive, it makes our hearts ugly. It poisons them. And so our hearts, instead of being full of love, become full of hate. And we use that hate like a cage, and we open that door and we set that person in there that we haven't forgiven. And then we close the door and lock it. And every now and then, we'll think about that person again, and we'll open up the cage of that of the door of that cage. We'll pull that person out, and we'll replay that scene, that situation in our minds, except this time, it ends a little differently. Because we give them a piece of our mind. We give them some cuts from our sharp tongue. We get even. We get our licks in. And when we get tired of winning and whipping up on them, you know, we put them back in that cage, and we shut the door, and we lock it until next time when we want to do the same thing all over again. Friends, if we range anywhere from and in between these two extremes, then there's some unforgiveness in our hearts that we need to deal with today. It doesn't mean that other person or group were right and you were wrong. It doesn't mean that they've earned or deserve your forgiveness. That's not the point. The point is that God wants us to experience the power of forgiveness because it delivers us from the darkness that seeks to cover us. It frees us from that which seeks to control us. And it offers us a new beginning. And in the end, that's what we need the most. So as I pray for us this morning, it's my hope that you might take time just to allow God to search your heart, your mind, your soul, to see if there's someone he or something he brings to the surface to let you know you haven't quite finished dealing with it. Or maybe you don't have to let him search it at all. You already know what it is. Either way, it's okay where you are. Just don't stay there. Let's make a decision today to move in the direction of God's Word, towards the light that it provides of the path we are to walk. Would you pray with me? God, we're thankful for your Word. Even though forgiveness is not easy and it's not something that we want to do, Lord, it's something you instruct us to do. To name the hurt, the emotion that's hurt, and the issue that goes with it, why we were hurt. To decide with our minds and our will that we're going to forgive even though our emotions don't feel like it. We're going to ask for your help as we verbalize that forgiveness and extend it to that other person. And we release that whole situation, Lord, right now. May each of us just do that. So your healing spirit might come in and take up the void that we've just created by getting rid of hate and revenge. And allow you to do a washing out of that wound, a healing of our wound, of our heart, of our soul. So that infection is no longer able to live and stay within our bodies, within our spirits, but we are healed from the hurt and we're healed in our memories. We've learned from the pain, but it doesn't break us down anymore because you've healed us. That's our prayer, O God. Forgive us, and may we now verbalize our forgiveness of others to you. Amen.